This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan and I'm so glad that you are joining us today. Hey, we have a really fun and special guest on the podcast today, and I feel confident about saying her name, but we're going to see how it comes out. We have joining us today, Becky Kopitsky. Did I get it right?
Oh, well done, Katie. Well done. Thank you.
Okay, so what you have here is you have a Texan trying to say the name of someone in Wisconsin. And so that could have gone a lot of different ways.
It could have, but I'm highly impressed right now. Thank you. So you get a few points over here.
I did practice.
Those of us in the Cheesehead State. Yes.
Said it multiple times before I said it live. Hey, but you guys, I'm so excited about what we're going to talk about today, because Becky Kopitsky, let me just introduce you really quick. She's a wife, mom of two, author, speaker, and writing coach. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is her book, The Cranky Mom Fix. And in The Cranky Mom Fix, Becky helps moms tame what she calls the momster with biblical wisdom and mom-tested tips so you can reclaim true peace for your soul and your home. And I love that. We're going to talk more about it in a minute. So I'm trying not to go off course yet. Let me finish introducing Becky. But Becky and her husband, Chad, are living the dream from home offices in Northeast Wisconsin, where they share precious space with their two beautiful daughters, two lazy dogs, and tables stacked with homework and craft supplies. Becky, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Katie. I'm so happy to be here. This is going to be a fun conversation.
It is. And listen, you know, one of the things that we were talking about is when I hear things like the cranky mom fix, and specifically the biblical wisdom and mom-tested tips so we can reclaim true peace for our souls and our home. Number one, I hear that and I'm like, everybody wants that. I mean, that is when you talk about who, if we surveyed who here wants peace for your soul and your home, I mean, who doesn't raise their hand? Of course we want that. But then, like, if we ask that question and then we follow it with, and who here has peace in your soul and home? I think that the response might be different. And so I just feel like this subject is one that we can all learn from. And here's what I want to ask you, because you said mom tested tips. Biblical wisdom and mom. So are you the mom that tested the tips? Like, tell me more about that. Is this from personal experience?
It may be from quite a bit of personal experience. I was once upon a time the quintessential cranky mom. Mm. And so I don't write about it unless I have experienced it. But more than that, more than my own personal experience, the book is filled with stories from other moms, but before The Cranky Mom Fix became a book, it was a live coaching program with a group of 30 moms who felt the need to love their families more than they scolded their families. Mm. And I think that's something so many of us can identify with. And so we dug into scripture. We talked about practical ways that we can apply what we know of God to our families so that we can overcome that momster that bubbles up inside of us. And we were sharing ideas and tangible strategies and prayer methods, just so many different ways that women were applying the Bible to their actual lives. So that's really what I mean by mom-tested tips. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just me. I certainly needed them and I have practiced them. But it was an entire community of moms who really spoke into what ultimately became this book.
Mm, I love that so much. And what I love is that for the woman tuning in, and you know, maybe you're tuning in and you are a mom in your home, but maybe you're a grandmother and you have your grandchildren with you a lot. Or maybe, you know, I even think about the woman who teaches on Sunday mornings in the toddler room or, you know, one of the kids' rooms. And maybe you are starting to see some of what we're talking about in those spaces. But what I love about what you just said, Becky, is that no matter where you are with this and what situation you have in your mind, you're not alone. And I think that's one of the things that can frustrate us or discourage us, is that we look around and I don't know if this is something you've experienced or not, Becky, but you never, it doesn't feel like you often see the cranky mom, right? Like when you're in public, you at least filter it a little bit a lot of times, you know?
Yes.
And so we can feel like, man, I'm the only one who gets frustrated at home, or I'm the only one who, you know, wishes I loved my family more than I scolded them, kind of a thing. So let's start there with you're not alone. And I just love what you just described, Becky, the way that this community came together, not only to encourage one another, but then the overflow of that is that you're encouraging us here today. And I'm so thankful for y'all's faithfulness to do that and for the fact that we get to have this conversation because of it. So I want to ask you, there's so many wonderful practical things that we can talk about here, but the first one that I want you to speak to is that you have what you call crankiness triggers. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it because I know you're probably thinking about it. We hear the dog in the background and it's cool. We're totally fine with that. It's not distracting anybody else, so you don't worry about it.
I so appreciate that. I think Daddy just came home, and when Daddy gets home, everybody's excited.
And this is one of the lazy dogs that we already talked about when I introduced you, right?
Yes. This is real life.
Yes.
Working from home.
So back to what you call common crankiness triggers and how that can kind of be a starting point for us to know our crankiness triggers so that we can start to try to maybe head them off or at least be aware. So tell me more about these common crankiness triggers.
Sure. Well, and we know the real issue here, when we get cranky, it's not the kids. The kids might be the final tip off, but when we get cranky, it's an issue of the heart. And so it helps to understand what is causing our hearts to go in the opposite direction from what we really want from ourselves. Because unless you know what's triggering your cranky behavior, you won't be able to battle a known adversary. Mm. So I was amazed how many women in the coaching group where we started this as a live program, how many women honestly didn't know what set them off. So we went through a series of possibilities and explored in what came to be a series of categories of ways that we recognize our crankiness is triggered. And it can start with simple things like a physical issue. Maybe you're just really tired. Mm-hmm. Maybe you haven't eaten lunch. It could be something. Maybe you haven't had your coffee yet. And when we recognize, oh, that is a trigger for me. For me, it's if I have a bad headache, I am nastier. It's much easier for me to get nasty to the people around me. And so we just have to recognize those triggers so that we can put some parameters in place to prevent our behavior coming about as a result. And the first thing is to recognize it and to know that, okay, I have a headache right now and I didn't get much sleep last night. And I know this makes me prone to bark at somebody. So I need to recognize it and make sure that I am aware of what is possibly going to come out of my mouth right now. Mm-hmm. And in addition to physical, it's emotional. If you're worried about something, if you just had a fight with your spouse, if you're going through some job stress or some sort of disappointment, there's so many ways that we can be triggered to be cranky when it's not actually the kids who deserve the crankiness. Or environmental. There's a story in the book of a friend of mine who was sitting outside the kiddie pool with her kids, and she was hot and sweaty, and she was not happy, and it caused her to blow up in a way she wouldn't have otherwise, because her environment was just, we up here in Wisconsin, Katie, we are not used to hot weather, and we get cranky, and it could be a variety of things like that, but also spiritual. We have to dig in and wonder, when was the last time I really sat with the Lord? Mm-hmm. When was the last time that I read my Bible and processed it? Mm-hmm. You know, is your tank empty? Have you not been spending enough time with God? All of those things can present the kind of groundwork that allows your crankiness to shoot up. Mm-hmm. Whereas the kids, they'll trigger it, right? They will, but they're not automatically the culprit. Often they're just the last straw for something that's already been brewing underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you say that, oftentimes they're just the last straw. I think that makes so much sense, because I feel like maybe that's something that we've all experienced. And I love some of the things that you brought up that can be triggers. And so, you know, as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, you know, when we're aware of those and then the kids do something that we might have a tendency to respond in a way we would rather not, we can at least redirect that crankiness from away from the situation that just presented itself with our kids or in our home and back onto, okay, God, help me in this situation, whether it's, you know, talking to him about the headache that we have, whether it's, okay, God, I know I'm hot. Like at least just acknowledging that it's not what just happened. It's what was brewing before. But are there any other kind of next steps for when you've identified that cranky trigger in whatever situation it is? Where do you go next? What do you do after you've identified it?
Well, I at this stage, because my girls are older now, ages 12 and 15, but if your children are old enough to be verbal and to have conversations, I go straight to my kids and I explain to them the environment that I am in. Mm. And I ask them to help me. So I will say, look, girls, mom is under a really tight deadline today. And I woke up with a headache, and you know how that makes me kind of prone to being cranky. I apologize in advance. I'll say, I do not want to be short with you today. I just want you to know what's going on with me, and I want to ask that you would pray with me. And also, could you help me by cooperating? Could you help me by whatever, not bickering, getting your homework done without me having to tell you, or whatever it might be? So I empower the kids to be a part of the solution in advance, not at all in a way that's meant to put the burden on them. My behavior is not their fault. Mm-hmm. But if I tell them I'm human and I'm struggling today, I think that they can learn from that as well as they can from my moments of seemingly perfection, right? Mm-hmm. So to be a real person around your kids is it can be healthy because it helps them recognize, wow, even mom needs Jesus. I guess I really need Jesus too. Mm. And so that can be a healthy thing. There are also, for littler kids, for the younger ones, there are other safeties we can put in place. I like to use tricks. Like when I really feel like yelling, instead I'll just sing a song or shout a knock-knock joke or something that'll make them laugh, because it still gets it gets rid of my urge to purge my vocal cords, right? Mm-hmm. But it's an approach that I recognize I am going to snap today. Mm. And so instead of yelling at the kids, I'm going to expel that energy in another way that's not going to harm them. It might cause them to look at me like I'm nuts. It might make everybody start rolling on the floor laughing, but that's a good thing. That redeems a negative situation and makes it a positive. Mm,
I love that. I love this. Both of those in different situations can be so helpful. And those are things we can go do today. I love that. Yeah. This kind of leads me into something else that you say, which I wonder if anyone listening is wondering this right now too, because, you know, you just said, I know I'm going to snap today, something like that. You know, you kind of mentioned that. So let's talk about those days when, as you put it, when life happens, you know, it's just, it's a day. And as moms, we can kind of feel like we reach our limit. And so let's go to that day where life happens and we've reached our limit. And once that occurs, what do we do at that point? Is there anything a mom can do to handle those moments or those days in regard to what we're talking about, you know, not being the cranky mom, but handling it in a way that brings peace to her soul and her home?
Yeah. One of my favorite practical strategies for handling those days when I truly feel like I'm going to lose my mind, I call it the quick switch. It's something that I learned from a dear mentor years ago. It has to do with the biblical concept of taking every thought captive. Mm-hmm. So I keep scripture in mind, a handful of verses that apply to numerous situations of frustration. And as soon as I identify that a trigger has been tripped or that I'm in an environment of triggers and I really want to blow my top, instead I try, and this is something we can do through time with practice, it becomes a spiritual discipline. I stop that thought and I immediately replace it with scripture. Or I come up with a list of affirming thoughts about the person who I'm about to blow up at. Mm. And instead I flip the switch. Again, it takes practice. You've got to discipline yourself to take those thoughts captive. But I flip the switch and let's say, for example, it's my husband and he does something that irritates me, which usually, Katie, as you know, it's something small, inconsequential, but we're about to ruin the entire day by our response mm-hmm, to it, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, he put my sweater in the dryer again and I asked him not to. Okay. Is that sweater more important than my husband? No. But am I about to make it a bigger deal than my love and my admiration and lifelong commitment to my husband? Yes, I am, if I say the wrong words. And so in that moment, I will just stop and I'll think, this is a sweater. My husband is loyal. He loves our children. Mm-hmm. He mows the lawn and he knows how to fix the sink. I mean, just come up with your list that rolls off the top of your head to help you put that moment of frustration in perspective. Mm-hmm. It's typically going to be small, even if it's a recurring irritation. Is that truly greater than the relationship that you have lifelong with that person, whether it's your spouse or your child or anyone else? So that is one of the best strategic ways that I have to deal with those frustrations in the moment, to put them in perspective. It's really just taking every thought captive.
Mm-hmm. That is, and this list of scripture that you talked about, is that something that you put together over time? Is that something that you noticed a particular feeling, emotion, or situation, and then you went and looked for a scripture? How did you compile that?
I was very intentional about it when I recognized that this was a need for me. Of course, I'd had scripture in mind and in my heart for a long time, but I actively compiled a list of verses, and I actually have them. I'm looking at it right now on page 42 of the book. I include these scriptures for women who maybe they don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't know where to even begin in the Bible. So I just have a few. My favorite it's my go-to verse is Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Mm-hmm. And every time I run through that verse, I think, oh, I'm about to tear my own house down mm-hmm. with my own stinking hands. Mm-hmm. And that is not good. So sometimes, often, all it takes is that scripture to reestablish my environment and to plant my feet back in solid ground. Mm,
that's a good one. Thank you for sharing that. And this kind of leads, I think, nicely into what you call the four P's of blessing. And so as I'm listening to what you're saying, even, you know, the affirming statements that you choose to think about when you're faced with a person that you might have a response to that you're not really wanting to have in the moment, yet you kind of feel like you're about to have in the moment. And then, you know, moving away from that into these affirming statements. And then you talk about the four P's of blessing. But you say, you know, it's blessing others, but it's also blessing yourself. And so tell me first what these four P's of blessing are, and how this changes, you know, how it's a part of being a cranky mom fix.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the four P's of blessing are essentially just a way to recognize love in action. How can we demonstrate love in action to the people around us so that we are creating that environment of love and kindness and attention to one another versus the cranky environment? And those four P's are presence, possessions, perspective, and prayer. Presence means be present with your people, be present with the people you love. Even if you can't be physically present, can you call them? Can you text them? Just be available. Be mm-hmm. available with your heart and with your ears to listen, and just help your people know that you truly care and you are with them and you are for them. And secondly is possessions. And for kids in particular, I like to just identify what are the ways that my children want to be loved. It's their love language, mm-hmm. right? And one of my girls is she's a gifts kid and she loves little gifts. And so I will buy a little gift and I'll leave it on her pillow. And that means something to her. That's me sharing my possessions. One of my other daughters really just wants a trip to Starbucks. And so, you know, I'll either tell her to hop in the car and we run to Starbucks, or I'll be out running errands and I'll come back with a mocha for her. It's just, how can I use my possessions to show my family that I care about them? These do not have to be grand gifts, grand vacations. I don't buy my husband a new car and put a bow on it. But I will maybe pick up his favorite candy bar at the grocery store and hand it to him for fun. You know, just little gestures with our possessions. And perspective simply means seeing the people that you love the way God sees them, mm-hmm. not the way we see them. Mm-hmm. And for our kids in particular, Katie, it is so important to love the person God created, not the person we anticipated they were going to be. Mm-hmm. And those are two very different people sometimes. No, I mean, I have two very different daughters, and one of them is very social, more of a, I wouldn't say a girly girl, but she loves to wear beautiful dresses to the dances at school. My other daughter just wants to play with reptiles and asks me, do I have to go to dances when I'm in high school? And so very different kids. What if I expected them both to love dressing up in frilly dresses? Mm-hmm. Then I would be really missing out on understanding who God created the other child to be. And so understand who our kids are according to God's design for them uniquely, mm-hmm. and have his perspective on the people that you love. Mm-hmm. Get to know them according to how he created them, and know that every person has dignity and value because God created them. And then finally, mm-hmm. prayer. Prayer is not the last resort. Mm-hmm. It is the one most powerful gift that you can give to any person. That it's most powerful, better than our time and our possessions, is because it directly invokes the action of God. And mm-hmm. prayer can be done whether you have possessions to give, whether you don't have time to spend an hour coffee meeting with a friend, or I don't have time to take my daughter shopping, whatever it might be, I can pray for her. And that is a powerful, powerful gift we can give to our kids. And it brings us peace in our own souls, mm-hmm. because it's time spent with God. And all of this creates an environment where we are mindful of loving the people around us rather than being caught up in our own agendas and selfishness and distractions. Mm-hmm.
Those are so good. And, you know, it's one of the great thing about a podcast is that you can pause, rewind, you know, write. So take your time with that. And I feel like those are things that you would probably want to write down, make some notes of your own. Maybe there's places that, as Becky was sharing each one of these, maybe there were thoughts that the Holy Spirit was bringing into your heart or into your mind, specifically as it pertains to your home or your situation. And so I would tell you, don't rush through those. I think there's so much to consider with each one of those points, but really kind of as like an overarching like theme that I saw kind of through these four P's of blessing is that it's a shift between thinking about me to thinking yes. about my people. You know, it's absolutely. The difference between, well, what do I think about this, or how do I feel about this, or what do I want right now, versus seeing them, thinking of them, considering their hearts, considering even what's happening in their lives that might be triggers for them. You know, it's just, yes. that's what I kept hearing as you were, just the difference in, and really getting me off of my mind. And, yeah. and the blessing of thinking of them, the blessing of loving them, the blessing of serving them, of praying for them. And I love how you said prayer is not the last resort. And why do we do that? It's like we always, well, I've done everything else I can think of, so all I can do now is pray. We kind of think like that. Why do we do that? Because, you know, the power of God is at our fingertips, you know, and we can go to Him and pray, and all of these cares, we can cast them on Him. And He sees what we don't see, and He knows what we don't know, and He's the one who created them and wired them and understands them better than we ever will on this side of heaven. Why don't we talk to Him more often? And why don't we talk to Him first? And so I just love that statement. Prayer is not the last resort. And we can, I think so much changes when we start there. So if nothing else, that's something we can begin immediately, is to start with prayer instead of use it as a last resort. Becky, you've just given us so much to think about here, and just so many practical things that we can begin to really start shifting that environment in our homes. But I, as we close, I just wonder if there's any last thing that you want to leave our listeners with that we have not discussed yet.
Oh, I just want to encourage all the moms out there who are disliking themselves because of how easily they get cranky and frustrated. God did not make a mistake when he placed your child in your family, whether by birth or adoption. That was by his design, and he knows that you are the right fit mom for your kids. And he wants you to enjoy them more than you scold them. So please be encouraged. You are not alone. We started the episode with that point. You're not alone. So many women struggle in this area and just don't feel confident to step out and talk about it because they think they are the only one. Mm-hmm. But there is always, always hope. And keep turning to Jesus and put some of these practical applications into your life and your spiritual disciplines, and you can start to see a turnaround. But understand, God has so much grace for you. And he is not looking at you with a checklist saying, did you do this right today? Did you do this right today? He's not taking off points because you got frustrated with your kids. He loves you because you are his child, and he is the perfect parent, and he knows how to love you well. And so just let him do it and soak in his grace, and don't allow yourself to be beaten down by your frustrations in parenting. Mm-hmm. We all have them.
Mm-hmm. Those are such encouraging words. And I love that you said grace, because while I was listening to you, I was thinking about God's grace. And then you said it, and I was like, look at that.
So good.
You know, and I remember the verse. And honestly, I can remember a time as a mother when I felt so overwhelmed, so discouraged, and to the point that I was telling God, I can't do this. Like, why do you think I can? I can't do this. And he took me to the verse in scripture that says, God's grace is sufficient for me. And it was almost like God was agreeing with me. You're right. You can't do this. But in my grace, you can. Because of my grace, you know, I can, and you can live in my grace. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I would have rather you not agreed with me. That's okay. And so just such a beautiful place to leave this, Becky. God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for us, and we don't have to be discouraged, not because we're going to get it all right, but because there is a never-ending source of grace from God our Father. And so, Becky, thank you so much. I know you're a busy mom. Thank you for taking time to share these truths and encouragement with us today. And I pray that those of you who have joined us for this conversation, I pray that there is one thing that you have heard today on this podcast, maybe several things, but at least one, I pray that you can take and begin to apply today so that today can be your best day ever. Thank you for joining us.